Blog Talk Radio.
This is Carlos Sardinas. I don't have a cute nickname. Call me Fitzmagic, baby. I'm feeling the beard right now. I'm joined by my co-host CJ, the painkiller DeSimone, and a special guest Robbie Jersey joining us as well. Gentlemen, it's been about a week since we talked New York Jets football, and we've won two football games in less than 7 days. What do you guys think about that?
Man, I tell you, I'm just sitting on top of the world right now. Jets coming out, you know, obviously having a dominating performance against the Tennessee Titans. Essentially, their only offense coming from, you know, a pitch and catch from Marcus Mariota to their running back to himself. That was pretty much the only form of their offense. But, I mean, the Jets dominated the Titans. And then last night, just proving again, once again, that this team can snatch victory from the jaws of defeat after going down, taking the lead late, Dallas coming back to tie it, and then Randy Bullock kicking that game-winning field goal shows a lot of character and a lot of strength about this team. The giant win, I have to say, you know, the week before Tennessee, that's the kind of win that could propel you into the playoffs and for a nice deep run into the playoffs. Robbie, what do you think about that?
Oh, definitely, man. That Tennessee game, I felt like it was one of the best halves I've seen a Jet team play in regular season. And that giant one, that from 8 minutes out, that was, like you just said, could compel you to the next, you know, to give you confidence to go forward. The one thing I've been harping all year, and I think the last time I was on your show, I was harping on that offensive line in the trenches. And that's the one thing that doesn't give me enough confidence for the Jets to be that, you know, be a playoff team or be a contender, so to speak. They could be a playoff team, but I just don't think they're a contender. And ugly head, rear leg, you know, they were getting killed in the trenches. That's what makes the offense sloppy. Then we just got to add a couple players, revamp that offensive line just a little bit, and this team could be a real contender. But I'm very happy with a win. Ugly win, I'll take it.
Yeah, Rob, it was. I mean, it was ugly. And, man, that game, it had me just back and forth and up and down all night. Just, you know, the missed field goal, the missed extra points, some drops early on from Marshall. A bunch of penalties called on Winters. I didn't think he played a particularly good game. And another thing I noticed was Sheldon Richardson kind of slacking off there during the game. But overall, I'm glad that we won. It was kind of ugly. Kembrel Tompkins came through clutch time with that last catch to set up the field goal. And Randy Bullock, like you said, CJ, set himself up to redeem himself from being a GOAT and turned himself into the GOAT of the game and propelled us to 9-5. Would you have thought that at the beginning of the season we'd already have 9 wins and we'd still have 2 games to go? I mean, you know, I think we've exceeded, I wouldn't say exceeded, but we've at least met some expectations, and Ryan Fitzpatrick has definitely been one of the big reasons why.
Robbie, I'll let you start off on this one.
Yeah. I predicted the Jets to be of a 9-7 team from the beginning because of what I just said, the offensive line, obviously. You know, I just felt like, but yeah, I think the one thing that I would point out to what you're saying is the difference between Rex and Todd Bowles. A lot of times I feel, and it still comes up, that Rex Ryan would get this team fired up, too fired up, where they would create dumb penalties, and that would cost us games. where I think Todd keeps his team even keel, calm. Some fans don't like it, but I think it's laying a foundation for a team that's going to be a smart team, execute better down the road. Maybe not, it may not show up this year because the foundation's being laid out. What I'm saying is we don't start fast, and that's the biggest problem. And I think that's going to come in time. And we are a bad road team, in my opinion, and it's because we don't start fast. So, to me, it's all about setting it up, getting their plays and better execution and playing to a better level. That's why I just think that this is just coming around. It isn't just the beginning. That's how I feel.
Yeah, I have totally agree with that. I think that the foundation, for this team is very slowly but surely being built. We're starting to see week-to-week improvement, which is something that, under Rex Ryan, we did not see. We did not see this team be able to really just give themselves a gut check moment and just say, like, we need to go out there and we need to take care of business. Now, another thing, too, Robbie is spot on with the team is not does not have a consistent ability to be able to fast start. Although there were a couple games this year where the Jets got off to a very, very fast start, and then it looked like that kind of took their foot off the gas pedal a little bit, which I'm a little bit disappointed about. And again, this goes back to Carlos will tell you, my kill shot before halftime mentality. When you have the ball with less than 2 minutes to go, it doesn't matter it's going to halftime, whether you have a lead or not. You want to drive it down their throat. You want to score as many points as you can to kind of break the will, which is something we saw them do against Tennessee, something we saw them do against Miami, both in London and in the Meadowlands. It was something that we needed for them to do, in order to develop that killer instinct.
No, I agree with you, CJ. Looking back at this game last night, a couple things that stood out to me. I think Stephen Ridley was on the field too much, period. Basically, it's a negative play anytime he's on the field. Mm-hmm. That's just how I saw it. I mean, you need to get those snaps to Bilal Powell or Ivory and just have Ridley as like an emergency back or something because he's about worthless right now. I think they
right.
said
Matter
he's
of fact.
25 yards the entire year. Every time I saw him, he's getting tackled in the backfield and he didn't do anything to help that team. And Bilal Powell was on point last night, and he has been the past few weeks. He's really come on since he's come back from that injury. And, it's a big – he went untouched for that early touchdown, and it wasn't even close. He was the fastest guy in that field, and we need to see more of him.
I agree. I think that Bilal Powell is the scat back that the Jets have needed all along and they've had all along. I just think that the different types of defensive schemes that we saw running under the multitudes of offensive coordinators we had under the Rex Ryan era just did not properly play to Bilal Powell's strengths. And, one of the things was that, we all were disappointed when Sean Green left, because Sean Green, had ended up having that second gear, so to speak, to be able to create separation in the secondary. And then he never really panned out here. And now we're starting to see, Bilal Powell really start to flourish and show the skill set that he has. So I'm hoping that we can continue to harvest that and continue to nurture it and, get it to grow so he could truly be a dangerous threat here in the NFL.
Yeah. So one thing I wanted to ask Rob, since you're joining us here, what do you think the answer is on special teams for the New York Jets? I mean, we had Crow back there trying to return kicks. That wasn't working. You have Jeremy Curley waving his hand in the air and doing the Curley every time there's a punt return. Is there an answer on this roster for special teams at this point? Or are we just going to have to live with the fact that we're going to be starting on the 15 to the 20 just about every time?
I don't think there is an answer. I mean, I was kind of disappointed, when they made the 53-man roster that Walter Powell didn't make the team. I don't see by putting that one guy on the team where it would hurt you, because I don't see basically, I guess they wanted to keep. To me, just I think Walker Power gave you enough of a punch and enough of a better field position than what you get. I really think that's the difference.
I agree. Totally. I agree, man. Walter Power would have been good. It would have been nice if Chris Owusu didn't get his 10 millionth concussion earlier before the season even started, because he would have made the team and would have really made a difference, I think. So
Week one, if you remember week one, even though it was a blowout, it was right before half. We were tied. It was a close game, and the last drive, Chris had a big catch, a big, I think it was a 40-yard catch or something like that. To really set up. So if he didn't get a concussion, he would have been that third option as wide receiver. To me, it almost feels like now our third wide receiver is Bly Powell as far as production.
Well, yeah, that's true. I mean, I think from a formation standpoint, though, it's KT. It's Kemble Tompkins already. He's the one that's really – I mean, Enunwa is kind of your tight end slash wide receiver. And actually, big props to him. He made some big catches last night. He really did. Some big third down conversions. Quincy Enunwa played really well. I was very surprised with him playing really good. KT went out there and played that third wide receiver. You're right, Powell's out there catching passes out of the backfield. We can't get, you know, I'm looking at Chris Ivory, and I don't know if he's just slowing down or I mean, he couldn't do much. He really couldn't do a whole lot last night. And then you see Powell out there, and he looks like Gale Sayers compared to the speed that Chris Ivory was going.
But ain't you extending the play with Powell? For example, I'm really big on this offensive line. You're not opening up holes for Ivory, but if you throw, going to be able to get past that D line a little bit. So I think that's a big difference too. No matter who's running the ball, we need to open holes for him.
Yeah, and they really haven't had much. Basically, Ivory and Powell have had to make most of that yardage himself. They're getting hit in the backfield, and Powell's making people miss, and Ivory's bowling through people. But anyways, on the defensive end, I can't say enough how well Calvin Pryor's been playing and what a difference
Definitely.
He makes in that secondary. You noticed when he was out, we were getting torched, and he's in. Not so much. There's a little bit of suspicion in the linebacking core, if you ask me, like Demario Davis making chasing around Darren McFadden, making him look like AP over there. But Calvin Pryor really does make a huge difference and just allows the rest of the secondary to do their job. And they know he'll be there to support them. He'll be there to make the big hit. He's not missing tackles. He's making plays. He got a pick last night. He's been playing lights out, and he's turning into that kind of quarterback of the backfield, if you ask me, of the defensive backfield.
That four-game stretch that we look bad, there's three players, unsung heroes, that to me makes the team 10 times better when they're out there. And that four stretch, you didn't have Pryor, you didn't have Bilal Powell, and you didn't have Quincy. Those three, that four stretch, those three players, I'm not saying they're the be-all, end-all, but they tie up the loose ends. Them three players make a difference, and I think that's the difference between having a winning streak and when we were like, lost three out of four or something like that.
They're the garbage men, if you will, of the team. In the fact that their job may not be that sexy, but it's got to be done, and they do it really good. And, we definitely saw it without Enunwa, without Powell, and without Pryor. And to a certain extent, we missed Revis for a couple games too, and Marcus Williams. And, you know, it was kind of a disaster. And Jets fans were wondering, what the heck's going on? But, you know, you had critical pieces, even though they don't jump off the box score, they don't jump off the screen and say, oh, man, these guys are sizzling. They make a huge difference in the trenches, making those little plays that make all the difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
About Pryor, didn't it feel like at one point last night, it's like he was making every play for the Jets, like a series or two. It's like, to me, everyone says because of money, Revis is your most valuable player. To me, I'm almost feeling like the team has a different identity when Pryor is playing.
Yeah, absolutely. We've won with Revis out. We won. Yeah. You know, when we were playing against Odell Beckham and the Giants, Revis wasn't playing. We still won that game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but Calvin Pryor is out. That makes a total difference. I'm not saying anything bad about Revis necessarily, but it stresses the coverage as a unit as opposed to what we used to be, which is, hey, let's line everyone up in an island and, you know, let them be at their best. Just play one-on-one. And you see how that's going for Rex right now. Todd Bowles, yes, he'll allow his top corners to go one-on-one. In certain situations, they will. But there's also some zone coverages in there, and there's some safety help sometimes. It's not just leaving him out on the island. And that's a huge difference to me. And Calvin mm-hmm. Pryor makes that all click.
And a couple of plays about Pryor all year. It was that it was against Beckham. It was against Gronk. And then last year, the last night, the pick. It's like plays that he changed that could have been 7 points for the Gronk. I don't know if you remember the Gronk. He stopped Gronk on a 7-point touchdown. He stopped Beckham on it. He ripped the ball out of his hand for a touchdown. It's like a couple plays like that is huge for the defense.
So one thing I wanted to point out, and someone that looked very spry for his age, when Harris went out last night, just for a little bit, Aaron Henderson was in there making some plays. It was good to see the old man in there making a few tackles and stuff. I like seeing Aaron Henderson out there. He played pretty well, if you ask me. The thing, though, that kind of bothered me was that we allowed, I think, the first 100-yard rusher since Shady McCoy in Darren McFadden last night. We did not look very good against the run. Frankly, we were saved by the fact that they threw Kellen Moore and some other hobo from off the street out there to face us as quarterback. So that kind of helped us out. But, I mean, we were letting DMC run wild. We need to clean that up.
Can it be David Harris? David Harris out as the quarterback. You know, for years the Jets have stopped the run. David Harris is a big reason, you know?
Yeah.
And I think, obviously, give Dallas credit. They got a great offensive line. That helped, too. But it was almost like a perfect storm. David Harris going out. That's a problem.
Man, within like 10 minutes, we had Harris going out, we had Decker rolling his ankle, and Brandon Marshall running off to the locker room, pointing at his arm. I was freaked out. You know, there was a ton of injuries that could have turned out really bad that didn't, because mostly everyone came back. Thank goodness, you know. I was really freaked out, especially around the half. And then Mo went in there for a little while. Mo Wilkerson went in. I was like, what the heck is going on? Unfortunately, nothing really serious has come out of any of it that I've seen so far. Which is good, because we're going to need everyone healthy. You know, and while we have some time left, we've broken this game down to death. We won two games. The Tennessee Titans game, I'll give you this analysis. We kicked the crap out of them. They're a bad football team, and we were playing at home. We should have won that game. We did. Now we have the Patriots to look forward to. And, last time we played this team, we almost got them in Foxborough, and they were at full health. They're not going to be at full health when we play them at home on Sunday. So I want to get your guys' thoughts on our chances really of winning that game, because I think we have a very good chance of doing it. If we can clean up some of the stuff we saw here, we could beat this team. I'm not like freaked out about it. I think we could beat the Patriots, but I want to get your thoughts, Rob and CJ.
Like I harp on that in the trenches, and I knew Dallas was going to be a tough one. This battle in the trenches, I think, is favorable to us. I don't think we did good against them in the trenches. Sheldon Richardson, I'm a little bit disappointed in some of the things he's done this year. He hasn't been up to where he was in the past. But I say this, when he played the Patriots, I think he was coming off, that was his first game back. So now he's more in game shape. He's ready to go. I personally think that this game will be a lot better. I'm looking at it. It's going to be a 3-point game either way, and I'm leaning towards the Jets. I think the home field crowd is amped up, not 9-5. We haven't gotten 10 wins in how many years? This is going to be a big game for the Jets, and I think they will pull it out, and I think the offense will have more production, because I think Chan Gailey's schemes will be a lot better against the Patriots, and we have film on the Patriots.
Yeah, and another thing is we have Bilal Powell, because we didn't have him against the Patriots.
Right, exactly. So just one thing, going back on that double-digit year, the Jets haven't had a double-digit win season since 2010, which was the last time that they made the playoffs to the AFC Championship game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. So this game right here is definitely circled on the schedule. This is a revenge game for the New York Jets. This is a way where Carlos said it before. We had them on the ropes, and we let them get away in Foxborough, and they were at full health, okay? They're not going to have Julian Edelman. Danny Amendola is still banged up. Yes, Gronk is always a factor, but he was kind of a non-factor when we first played them. You know, Buster Screen neutralized him pretty good. Revis will be on the field. You know, we have Bilal Powell. We have a healthy Chris Ivory. You know, we really don't have too many injuries coming in to this game. This is a game in which the Jets,
I think the most encouraging thing I saw was the fact that
the Jets can really, really take advantage of this situation right now. But again, penalties. They got to clean up the penalties. The only way to beat the Patriots is to keep Tom Brady planted on his ass on the sidelines. Long, time-consuming drives with seven, not three, seven. Okay? That's how the Jets will win this game.
Yeah, I mean, we got to get that run game going properly because it's not really going properly. It hasn't been for a while. We're not, like Robbie was saying earlier today, it's not just like this happened last night. It's been going on for at least a month where we're not getting good push off the snap to allow Powell and Ivory to really run. And you're going to need that against the weakened Patriots defense because they are weakened. I mean, don't forget, they have some serious injuries on defense and on their offensive line that they didn't have when we saw them last time. So we're going to have to push on them. And you can't have this garbage with Brian Winters doing his best Willie Colon impersonation last night, getting all these penalties.
Right. Yeah, it's something that Brian Winters did not have a good game last night. That's something that he needs to fix. And I really think that, you know, Todd Bowles and company will definitely work a long way toward fixing those penalties and making sure that those guys have their head screwed on straight for this game. You know, there's a lot that's riding on this game. There's a lot that the Jets are looking forward to because, you know, like they alluded to last night, the Jets could win out and they still don't have control over their own destiny. We still need, you know, some help in order to get the spot to eliminate the tiebreaker scenario. So if Pittsburgh could fall at Denver today, you know, and you know, the Chiefs stumble, although the Chiefs probably have the easiest schedule going down the stretch. You know, it's right now the Jets have to handle their business and let whatever else, you know, happen, whatever else is going to happen in the NFL happen. They need to take care of their business because, you know what, if they're not winning games, then we don't deserve to be in the dance, period.
Yeah, definitely. You know, three weeks ago, starting today with the other team. I think there's going to be a loss by some way, somehow. So
yeah.
I'm not more concerned about that. But the one thing I don't mean to turn ties with your show a little bit, but the one thing that we keep hitting on, and you were hitting on earlier, Chan Gailey. Man, I think he is the MVP of the team because, look, we had Rex there. We had these almost similar players. He's got a career year for Fitz. He's got a career year for Ivory. Ivory's going to hit 1,000 yards for the first time in his career. He's got you know, look at Decker's number. You finally have two wide receivers at 1,000. It's the players, but it's the scheme. He's hiding our weaknesses and making the best out of it. Look what Powell, a fourth-rounder, I love the dude. He's put him in the right position to be successful. This is probably our best offensive coordinator we've had, and maybe since, like, the Parcells era.
You want to know something? I can't.
Coordinator said. Yeah, I would definitely agree with that.
I can't disagree with that at all.
I think there's – offensively, there's three additions that make the world a difference because you said it. Most of the offensive side of the ball on the roster is pretty much the same from what we had last year, except for Chan Gailey, the old fossil himself, Ryan Fitzpatrick, and Brandon Marshall.
Where did you dig up that old fossil?
No one else on there of consequence is new, really. And those three have made all the difference in the world.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just more impressed with what Chan has done in his scheme. I know everything hasn't been perfect. Jeff fans wanted to be more successful than that. But if you just compare the two, the schemes, and just look at the red zone stats, and even adding Bowles to the team, NFL Bowles' defense, offensive defense, what this team does in the red zone is the reason why they're 9-5.
That's right. We were talking about this last night. Me and CJ got together. We went and watched a Star Wars movie, then we watched a Jets game. It was a good night, you know. A bunch of us went out, and we were watching the game, and one of the stats that came up is the Jets are number one in red zone efficiency, both on offense and defense, as of while the game was going on last night. And that's amazing. It's amazing. And that's exactly why you could turn around the season and have a 5-win swing from a 4-win team to already at 9 this year. It's because of those statistics. The red zone efficiency of both the offense and defense have flipped themselves on the head from where they were last year.
Yeah, I mean, they're number one in everything on the defensive. In that first drive for the Cowboys, it was, you know, some Jet fans were panicking, oh, it's a bad drive. But look, that's the one thing I love about our defense. We're not the best. We're not the Bears 85 defense. We're a bend but don't break. You know, that first drive, they come down. They didn't get 7. They got 3. So what? They ran it down. Just to recover like that is huge. Most defenses would just fall apart.
Mm-hmm. That is correct. And it just seemed like the Jets' defense began to get stronger as the game went on. And then Dallas was put in a precarious position where they weren't able to go back to the well to do some of the things that made them successful in the first half. So, and then, of course, you know, Kellen Moore starting in his first NFL game,
kind of mistake on their end that worked
Matt
out.
Castle doesn't hurt either. So, all right,
yeah.
Carlos, we're coming up against it here. We got a little bit of time for some fantasy picks. Who you like today?
Oh, man, today's pretty ridiculous. Let's see, a quarterback. I kind of like Blake Bortles, looking pretty good against Atlanta. Also, Russell Wilson, if you could scrounge him up there, play him in daily fantasy. I don't really like Ben Roethlisberger so much. He's playing a tough Denver defense. Running backs, Charkandrick West is going to basically get all the carries by himself. Spencer Ware's out there, but he's pretty much just going to be there as an emergency back, so he's getting all the touches to himself. So I like Charkandrick West. Either one of your Bears running backs, and Matt Forte or Langford, should be good against a weakened Minnesota secondary and defense in general. Wide receiver Doug Baldwin going to go bananas. Alshon Jeffrey's out there. He's gonna do real well again against a weakened Minnesota defense. And I like A.J. Green against the San Francisco 49ers. Kind of a sleeper pick is Jermaine Kearse, who's the number 3 receiver in Seattle. Look for him to get some touches because that's just how they work. And let's see, tight end, you can't go wrong with Gronkowski or Greg Olsen. An under-the-radar guy that I like is Zach Miller on the Bears. He's taken over that role pretty much by himself now that Martellus Bennett is out for the season. He'll get Jay Cutler's looks, so I like him. And Julius Thomas of the Jacksonville Jaguars because I just like their matchups. And defensively, I hate them, but the Patriots is a good one to play this week. So are the Seahawks. So is the Kansas City Chiefs, Houston Texans versus the Colts. If you're kind of desperate, you could throw Jacksonville out there against what's been a pathetic Atlanta offense. And, of course, we don't do kickers here because they just don't matter. Unless you're Randy Bolton and you kick a game-winning field goal last night. But for fantasy purposes,
right,
they don't matter.
Robbie, we got about a minute left. Give everybody your contact information.
Yeah, Robbie Jersey. Yeah, RobbyJerzee, and you can check me out on Blog Talk Radio, Robbie Jersey Sports Talk Show. And we cover the Jets and the Knicks.
All right, awesome. Well, for Carlos, the Emperor Sardinus, I am CJ the Painkiller DeSimone. For Robbie Jersey, this has been the CNC Football Factory. We will catch you guys next week. Peace.